You are listening to Radiantly You. And now, here's Barbell.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Sunday morning, 9 a.m. And here we are again. I am Barbell with the Radiantly You radio show right here on 970 KNUU, where we meet every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And I am so glad you are here with me this morning. And good morning to you. For those of you who are listening all around the world, I hope you are having a sunshiny day, because I know we have quite a few listeners these days all around the globe. And this morning I wanted to actually start with one of them, because one of those lovely listeners sent me an email the other day. And this young lady, her name is Cecile Hope. She lives in Dubai, all the way from Dubai. And I know her actually personally. I have met her many, many years ago when she was a little girl and I was a young woman. But Cecile lives in Dubai these days, and Cecile listens to me on 970knuu.com on the internet in Dubai. And she listens every Sunday morning to the Radiantly You radio show with me, Barbell. And this is what Cecile sent to me. She said, I told her that everyone has flaws, because this coworker was mentioning that she thought she had flaws. But the hell with other people if they don't like you. It's nobody's obligation to like you, but liking and loving yourself is your obligation to yourself. Loving your uniqueness is the key for being radiant. And that's when other people will appreciate you as well. Well, Cecile, I couldn't have said it better myself. This is just the smartest thing. This is so very true. We have to, of course, first love ourselves before others might pay better attention. And loving ourselves is, of course, in my opinion, my humble opinion, the way to becoming radiantly you. And that is what we want to talk about. And today I have a very, very special guest with us. He is going to be with us on the phone, and he is Dr. Rick Hansen. He is a neuropsychologist and a meditation teacher, and he has written a fabulous book that I'm almost done reading. The book is called The Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom. Well, and we of course know that these are all topics that I just so very much love. And I wanted to just, before I bring Rick on in just a moment, what I really loved in this book, just even the opening, it says here in the opening of his book, you don't need to have any background in neuroscience, psychology, or meditation to use this book. It weaves together information and methods like an operating manual for your brain combined with a toolbox, and you'll find the tools that work best for you. Well, I know you guys are going to appreciate this, because this is exactly what we talk about on Sunday mornings, having inspiration and information, getting ideas on how we can work on loving ourselves more so we can become more radiantly ourselves. So, Dr. Rick Hansen, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome to the show. Before I say anything, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a doctor of neuro... You've co-founded the Wellspring Institute for Neuroscience and that's a hard word for German girls, is it?
There you go.
Wisdom. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh, the short version is that... So I'm a neuropsychologist, and I co-founded the Wellspring Institute for Neuroscience and Contemplative Wisdom. And if people want to go to the URL for it, it's wisebrain.org, wisebrain.org. Mm. And it's chock full of resources that are freely offered that are right at the intersection of positive psychology, contemplative practice, and brain science. Because right there at the center of those three circles is a sweet spot of very, very powerful tools for self-directed transformation. Because if you can change your own brain, you can change your life.
Yes, 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 yes. That is so very true. One of the things that you talk about in your book, Rick, that I would love for you to explain a little bit more. I love the phrase. It says here, it said that you say your brain is like Velcro for negative experience, but Teflon a positive one. What do you mean by that?
As we evolved in biological evolution, the nervous system's been evolving for about literally 600 million years. And our close ancestors started making stone tools 2.5 million years ago, but their brains were only a third our size. So the brain has tripled in the last 2.5 million years or so. The point is, it's been evolving during this time, and in that long run for survival, we developed the capacity. Our deep nature is to be calm and contented and caring, but we're driven from that deep nature at the crack of a twig, you know, or the cough of a leopard nearby, and driven very quickly into fight or flight, you know, consciousness. The result of that is what scientists call a negativity bias in the brain. In other words, to survive, it was much more important to be alert to threats than it was to track opportunities. And so the result is what's called, as I said, a negativity bias, so that, for example, in interactions, in a relationship, it takes about 5 positive interactions to just make up for 1 negative one. Or at the end of the day, you know, you've had a good day, but what's the one thing you think about? It's the one thing that didn't go quite right. So because we have a negativity bias in the brain, it is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive ones. It's how to actually, in daily life, in little ways, little easy ways, put in a corrective for that by focusing on good experiences 6 times a day for 30 minutes, and you will literally build new neural structure in your own brain that'll help you feel happier and become more resilient.
Great, Rick. That is exactly what we talk about. It sounds like taking baby steps, small little things every day.
That's exactly right.
Right now, I got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about that. You are listening to Radiantly You right here on 970 KNUU, and we will be right back.
What future do you envision for yourself? What dreams do you have? If you want your dreams to come true, you must have confidence in yourself and your abilities. A Toastmasters Club can help you build that confidence. A low-cost learning experience for men and women, Toastmasters shows you how to express yourself clearly and effectively. Make your dreams a reality. Join a Toastmasters Club.
To find out more about Toastmasters, go to their website, toastmasters.org.
When I go on my walks, I'm not alone. I've got a traveling companion right here in my pregnant belly. We see all kinds of things together. Well, he doesn't see them, but I think somehow he experiences them. I want him to come out and see all the great things this world has to offer. But I really just want him to be healthy. So I'm walking. And I'm not the only one walking for my baby. Lots of people are. By joining in the March for Babies. Well, they're walking for all babies, really. Pretty cool. So on our walks, it's just me and him and a few million other people who care about babies. Pretty peaceful, considering.
One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we'll have to walk to get there. Join the March of Dimes March for Babies. Together, we can give every baby a healthy start. Visit marchforbabies.org today to sign up.
And we are back with Radiantly You right here on 970 KNUU. I am Barbell, your host. And this morning, we are talking with Dr. Rick Hansen, author of The Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom. And Rick, you were telling us before the break, what you suggest in your book and things you talk about is that, you know, we are so conditioned to thinking about the negativity, and what we really need to do is kind of refocus our brain, and we do that through simple, small steps each day to focus on positive things, on good experiences. Can you explain a little bit more in practical ways how we would do that?
3 simple steps. Number 1, turn positive facts into positive experiences. So, for example, lots of good things happen to us, but they don't move our needle. We notice good things in ourselves. You know, we have grit or determination. We're moral, good people. But nothing, we don't feel anything about it. So the first step is to let yourself feel something about it. The second step is to stay with the experience for about 30 seconds. In other words, and try to help yourself feel as good as possible. In other words, happiness is skillful means. The third step is to sense and intend that the experience is sinking into you, that it's becoming a part of you. And literally, because of brain science, there's a famous saying, when neurons fire together, they wire together. That means that as you do this, you literally are building new neural structure inside your own brain.
So if I have a good feeling about something in a particular situation or a moment, what I need to train myself is to really pay attention and sort of revel in the feeling of that good experience or that good thought for a little bit longer than just noticing it and letting it go by and just staying there. And then, you know, from that experience, from feeling that, then to set the attent to look out for more of those type of experiences. And so I'm building on it.
That's exactly right. It's about resting. There's a famous saying in Buddhism that the mind takes the shape of whatever it rests upon. So we can either rest upon negative experiences or the kind of threatening messages we get from the world, most of which are actually exaggerated and will never happen to us personally. For example, you go to the airport, it says threat level orange. Well, the chance that something bad will happen on your flight on that day is really very close to threat level green. Anyway, so we tend to get worried about things that are not necessarily the case. So instead of resting our mind upon that, why not rest our mind upon gratitude? On a sense of thankfulness or peacefulness in the world or the feeling of being loved. I loved one of your suggestions on your blog, which I read, about getting a picture of yourself as a young child or putting your hand on your cheek or feeling loved by someone. Anyway, when we rest our attention on that, we're building new, wonderful neural structure. And that's what I get into in my book. It's a kind of an operating manual and toolbox for your own brain. Because if you can take charge of your own brain, you can actually change yourself gradually but very realistically over time in wonderful ways.
How do we apply that towards stress, our daily busy lives? The most important topic, of course, relationships. How can we really remember these things, these steps, when we're in a relationship and things are going on and things are happening?
Well, I'll start with stress. And with regard to that, number one is to appreciate that we do live in a world that is constantly triggering us. We did not evolve to have chronic stress the way we do today. We evolved to have short spikes of intense stress, but then settle back down into calm and peace and contentment and caring with our tribe. But that's not today's life. So number one, realize that, you know, the world is a little stacked against you, so you've got to really get on your own side. And then in second, since you're being motivated then, do things. Like, for example, there's part of the nervous system called the parasympathetic nervous system that is the rest and digest wing, distinct from the fight or flight wing. And there are many ways to activate it. I go through that in the book. But one, for example, is to focus on exhalation. A second method for the parasympathetic nervous system is to really touch the lips, because the lips are full of nerve endings that go into the parasympathetic nervous system. A third wonderful method, one of my favorites really, is to imagine that you're being with someone who really loves you. Could be a pet, could be a family member, a mate, could be someone who's no longer alive, could be God. But to soak in that sense of being with someone who really loves you, that's a wonderful way to reset the nervous system and continually take in that good experience as well.
That sounds so good. I will snuggle that dog of mine a lot more tonight and get really into the feeling of feeling loved.
Yeah.
Now, you are listening to Barbell right here on the Radiantly You Show. And my guest today is Dr. Rick Hansen, the author of the book, The Buddhist Brain. And right now we're going to take a short break and we will come back. We will continue on this conversation.
Are you nervous or uncomfortable speaking in front of groups? If you would like to speak to others with confidence and ease, a Toastmasters Club can help. A low-cost learning experience for men and women, Toastmasters can show you how to conquer your fear and say what you mean in a clear, concise manner. Don't hesitate to speak up anymore. Join a Toastmasters Club.
To find out more about Toastmasters, go to their website, toastmasters.org.
We are back with the Radiantly You radio show, me, Barbell, right here this morning with Dr. Rick Hansen, talking about The Buddhist Brain, the book that Rick wrote, The Buddhist Brain, a fantastic book that I am reading currently. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the things that we can do to improve ourselves, which is, of course, what Radiantly You is all about. Rick, let's talk a little bit more about relationships, my favorite topic. How can we really build more empathy for ourselves And with the people that we are in relationship with, that's really, for me, always, of course, the biggest challenge. By myself, I've gotten pretty good to get along with myself somewhat, but to really develop more empathy and to really get along with others, that's still always, is, you know, a challenge and something that I constantly want to work with, and I'm sure so do all our listeners. So talk a little bit more on that, what we can do about that and how that works on our brain.
You know, as we were talking earlier about evolution and how the brain has tripled in size in the last 3 million years or so, most of what's been added is related to relationships. It's related to language, empathy, cooperative planning, altruism, being able to imagine how others will react and respond and change your own ways accordingly. And in many real ways, love has actually driven the evolution of the human brain, both over the last 3 million years and then also in terms of primate and vertebrate evolution, which is really kind of neat. I mean, for me, that was one of the neat stories to tell in my book. So the question then becomes, given these wonderful loving capacities, why is the world at war so much? And that's because we evolved to be very caring and cooperative with, quote-unquote, us, but fearful and aggressive toward, quote-unquote, them. And in a world in which we have caveman brains armed with nuclear weapons, it's really important today to start seeing past these distinctions of us and them, to see how the whole world is one big us, because we're all in this together, you know, and also find ways to deal with the ways that we find that we get automatically reactivated and we feel threatened. So the book talks about a number of ways to do that. In intimate relationships, empathy is a very inherent part of the brain. It's based on three circuits, one in which we read the actions of others, another we track their emotions, a third where we track their thoughts. In terms of emotions, which is so important for empathy in tuning into our partner, but also tuning into our customers who are a salesman or the people next door to us in the cubicle at work, a great way to do that is to pay attention to your own internal sensations of breathing or just what's happening inside your own body, because that builds up the part of the brain called the insula that also tracks the emotions of other people. In other words, by just being mindfully aware of doing the dishes or even during meditation, you can become literally more empathic for other people. Isn't that great?
That is great. That is definitely great.
Yeah.
And something that, you know, that we're all striving towards, we, you know, we all want to be more, have more empathy, work on that, be more loving, and something that I know my audience is listening to and tuning into. That's why we meet here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. On 970 KNUU, so that we can talk about different ways of becoming more loving, becoming more radiant. I'm so appreciative that you are here with us this morning, Rick. I definitely appreciate it. Now tell our audience they can get the book, The Buddha Brain, anywhere, any bookstore.
That's right, as well as online, of course, through Amazon or Barnes & Noble and so forth. The other thing I should add is that they can learn more about me personally at my own website, rickhanson.net, S-O-N. The takeaway point, though, for me, really, if I could leave listeners with anything, it's this fact that through science combined with the wisdom of contemplative traditions coming together now in the 21st century, that gives ordinary people who don't know anything about brain science a kind of toolbox and operating manual for their own brain that gives them the power to reach down just through their mind alone, just through how they focus their attention and kind of manage their own internal world. It gives them the power through the mind alone to change their own brain. That's kind of like having the keys to the kingdom, in a sense, because the brain is the bottom line in terms of how we experience living, whether we're happy or sad, whether we suffer or are joyful, and also how we deal with other people. And in a world, as I said, with, you know, caveman brains armed with nuclear weapons, we all need to get more skillful with our own brains.
Absolutely. That is so very true. And to really understand that more, I so recommend your book, The Buddha's Brain, because as I'm reading through it, I'm learning so much more. I had some small basic understanding, but really the scientific ideas behind it and how it all works together, as you mentioned, these days we understand more and more in the 21st century that really the mind is a powerful thing and that we can change our lives through our own mind. So I highly, highly recommend this book to get a, you know, gain greater understanding on how it all works. And of course, all the great practical applications that are in your book so that we can get working at it and make 2010 a much more effective year where we become more loving, more empathetic, just make the world a better place, which is what we are all about. Radiantly you. You, me, and everyone. So, Rick, I want to thank you so much for being with me this morning. Tell our listeners again where they can look up information on you. That is
rickhanson.net, S-O-N.
Rickhanson.net, S-O-N. And, of course, if they want to read your book, they can go to any bookstore, go to Amazon.com, check out the book Buddha's Brain by Rick Hansen. Thank you again so much. Any last words that you might have for our audience that we can take away today?
It's that you actually have the power, truly, with a little bit of skillfulness and directedness, to truly reach down inside your own brain and change it over time. And that's a fantastic thing to have. It's historically unprecedented, literally, that we live in a time where science has come together with psychology, or, you know, neuroscience has come together with Western psychology and the ancient contemplative traditions to give us a kind of operating manual and toolbox for our own brain. And that's a fantastic opportunity, and so we have a responsibility to use it well.
Thank you so much, Rick, for being here this morning. Now you see why I decided to bring Rick on the show today. And there was a small story behind that. For the last 2 years, there was a small story that hung on my office wall. I found the story one day in a magazine, cut it out, and placed it on the wall so I could remind myself often by taking a look at it and reading it what I'm committed to in life. And this is the story. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about the battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is hate. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is love. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." When I read Rick's book, Buddha's Brain, I discovered he talks in depth about the wolf of love and the wolf of hate from a very specific scientific point of view. This is a great validation for me that it is truly important to pay attention in what and how we feed our brain. I hope you enjoyed our conversation, and join me again next week when I will bring you another guest who will support us in becoming and living more radiantly. I am Babel. Thank you for listening to Radiantly You right here on 970 KNUU, where we meet every Sunday at 9 a.m. to bring you inspiration and information for mind, body, and soul. Should you want to listen to the show again, you can go to www.970knuu.com and look for the show in the archives. If you want to leave me a comment, question, or suggestion for a future show, contact me at www.radiantlyu.com. Thanks and have a wonderful week.